Kids, as you probably gathered from the song that Quill played, we've got all age worship today, which is really exciting because it means you're not going to your groups and instead you're going to listen to me. Is that all right? Otto! Thank you, Otto! When's your birthday, Otto? It's going in my diary, I'll tell you. I've never had that response before. What I want to do is just give you kids a little bit of an update, because we are having a series here of messages around a bloke in the Bible called Jonah, and we're calling it Deepest Grace. Okay, and this week, and this week alone, we're looking at I'm a prophet, get me out of here. Okay, now what is a prophet? Well, in the Bible, we read lots and lots and lots of stories about prophets. And prophets were men or women who would stand before kings or counselors or whole nations and would bring the words of God. And this is one particular prophet, and God called him to Nineveh. Now, that's a little street sign that is here, or between here and Oxford. But in his day, Nineveh was the capital city of an empire called Assyria. Now, you might have heard stories of places that are dangerous to go. Assyria was an empire that had a reputation for cruelty, for barbarity, for absolute wickedness. And one day God spoke to this prophet and said, I want you to go to this capital city. So he went down to a little port, and he, instead of going there where God had called him to, 550 miles to the northeast, he went there, 2,500 miles to the west. Instead of going to this capital city called Nineveh, he actually went to Spain on his holidays. And if you've got a children's Bible, you might have seen the story of Jonah, because what we looked at 2 weeks ago is that Jonah got on a boat. He was going to Tarshish because he thought he could escape the presence of God. Let me ask you, particularly kids, do any of you think you can get away from the presence of God? Do you think you can find somewhere where God is not? You can't, can you? Because God is everywhere. And then 2 weeks ago, we thought, or we saw, that Jonah thought he could outsmart the plan of God. But God had called him to speak his word. And so Jonah found himself on a boat, and this horrendous storm started to blow. And he started to speak the words of God to these sailors who didn't believe in God. But he also thought he could escape the power of God. The sailors eventually threw him overboard, and what we find is the storm stilled. And so all of that's Jonah chapter 1, and today we come to Jonah chapter 2. And so we're going to switch now to Rachel, who's at home, who's very courageously, despite COVID, going to read to us Jonah chapter 2. So Rachel, thank you for doing this, and hopefully, without any further ado, we're going to find you, and
Hello.
We're going to switch over to you.
Hi, can you hear me okay? Good. So I'm going to just read chapter 2 to you. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their back on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach.
Rachel, thank you for doing that. And please receive our love and send our love to the family as
thank
well.
Thank you.
Okay, I want you to imagine for a moment, young and old, a time that you found yourself in an appalling situation. I think we've all found ourselves in those scenarios. And sometimes it's been through no fault of our own. It's been an illness or a stroke. It's been a situation with a family. It's been a problem at school or in the workplace. But we've found ourselves in this desperate place. But I wonder if you can think of other times where you find yourself in a dark and a gloomy place where there appears to be no light. But on these occasions, it's not through no fault of your own. It's because of decisions that you have made, bad choices that you have taken. I think that this was the situation in which Jonah found himself, because God had said, do one thing, and Jonah had gone and done the other. But in that passage that we have read, we found this, that Jonah prayed to God. And literally, he prayed to God from the pits. He prayed to God from a dark and a gloomy place. Now, the Mediterranean Ocean is about 1 mile deep. And we find that he went deeper and deeper and deeper. And the passage says that he prayed literally from the roots of the mountain as seaweed started to wrap itself around him. And that was bad. But in many ways, worse was still to come. Because the Bible says that God arranged a big fish to swallow his servant Jonah. And so what is it that you would have cried? What is it where I would have cried in that situation? I think it's something like this. Help! It was fear. He was petrified with the situation, the circumstances in which he found himself. He cried out to God. But the glorious thing is this, that what Jonah did is he cried, he prayed to the God who listens. Now, I remember when our son was born, and Tracy was so tired because she'd been up night after night after night. She was feeding him. And one night, I stepped forward, the new man. I said, I don't want you to worry, because as soon as Sam cries, I will be there. And so if this son express milk that I can use, just sort it out and I'll be there, and tonight you can sleep. And I heard him cry and I sat awake, and there Tracy was, stood at the end of the bed with a screaming child. And I said, you've beat me to it. How long have you been there? And she said, 3 hours. I felt like the worst man on the planet. But you see, there was something, you were, still am. There was something, because Tracy's ear was attuned to the cry of a child. And the Bible says this, that the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are attentive to their cry. And that means this, that when you pray, God never ever misses it. It doesn't matter if you cry out help from the darkest, deepest place because of the situation that someone else put you in, or whether it's a circumstance that you've put yourself in. God hears your cry. Now, I just want to say one more thing about prayer, and it's this: that very often we think of the significance of prayer as the outcome. Almost like an ATM or a vending machine, if you like, that we put our words and our faith in and we get a result out. I think that's an appalling way to consider prayer. I think the right way to consider prayer is this: that the God of heaven and earth is waiting and he's watching. And the wonder is not that we get the result that we are looking for. The wonder and the glory is that he listens. And he wants to listen so often more than we want to talk. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to befriend you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to do life with you. He cares about your concerns. And just like Tracy was with Sam, his ear is attentive, not just to the cry that comes out of your mouth, but that cry which is silent and remains in your heart. The next thing we find in the story is this: that Jonah didn't just pray to the God who was listening, but he prayed to the God of all power. Now, I did a little Google search on Friday, and that was the first photograph that came up. And I want to tell you a little bit about that photograph. Does anybody know what it's of? Go on. It's of what? Of the universe. That's a good answer.
Zeus.
Of Zeus. I don't know. I'll tell you what it says on Google. It says this: that's the Andromeda Galaxy. It's 2.5 million light years from Earth. Okay? So, does anybody know what a light year is? Do you want me to tell you?
Yes.
Go on, Freddy.
How far light can travel through a year?
Absolutely.
When you turn your light on, it
kind of becomes 2 seconds. Yeah. And it takes years for it to come through, like millions of seconds. Absolutely. Do you know how far light can travel in 1 second? I'm going to tell you. 6.5 seconds. I'm going to tell you, light travels, not 6.5 meters, 186,282 miles. That is fairly quick, okay? So if you travel at 186,282 miles per second for a whole year, that's a light year. And that galaxy, which has as many stars in it as people on the planet, is 2.5 million light years away. That's quite a distance, okay? Get the kids in the back of the car and they'll be asking the question, are we nearly there? Okay? Now, this is the God of all power. This is what it says in the Bible. I like this: that God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. It's like a PS at the end, isn't it? Postscript. And he did all of that. Now, just imagine that we have a God of all power, but he's not a God of love. That would be frightening, wouldn't it? But imagine for a minute that we had a God who was all loving, but he was not all powerful. That would be kind of pitiful. But the Bible tells us that we have a God of all power and a God of all love and mercy and compassion. And therefore, that's wonderful and that is altogether glorious. And so we find that Jonah was in the belly of this fish and he cried out help to the God who listens, to the God of all power. And the Bible says that after 3 days and three nights that this fish spewed him up on the land. Now, you might want to go and read the story in the Bible yourself. Because in the children's Bible, we've got this kind of idea, haven't we, of Jonah sat reading a book. But actually, I think that the Bible is telling us that maybe God didn't sustain him. Maybe God brought resurrection life to him. Because you see, in the New Testament, in the record of Jesus, we find that Jesus said this: there is only one sign that's going to be given, and it's the sign of Jonah. And Jesus said that he too would be in the grave, and he too would be brought resurrection life. Why? Because there was good news that he wanted to share with others, and there's good news that he wants to share with us today. So the last thing, kids, we're going to look at today is this: that Jonah prayed to the God of the second chance. Jonah chapter 3, that's the next bit along in the story. It says this: then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time and said, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and do what I told you to do in the first place. Now, I just want you to imagine Jonah for a minute. He must have stunk. He was spewed up, all of this fish vomit all over him. And what did he hear? He heard the word of God. Now, the truth is that all of us have been the size of this small child. And all of us have started to walk, and we've stumbled, and we've fallen. And all of us have been picked up by parents or uncles or aunties or carers who have said, go on, try again. And all of us have been in a situation in our Christian walk where we find ourselves in a bad place, a dark place, a gloomy place, a place where there appears to be no light, either through situations and circumstances outside of our control, or because we've rebelled and not obeyed the plan and the purposes of God. But you know, today is a good day, because today is the day when God's mercy is new to us, and so we can come to him and he stands us up, he sets us again on our feet, and he says, today is the day I want you to start again. Today is the day I want you to obey me and honor me. Today is the day when I want you to walk in faith. And we've done this so many times, but it's left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. In your school place, in your family, in your community, wherever it is that God has placed you, it's there that this week he wants you to honor him and to walk according to his ways and according to his will. Amen.